Let's turn to chapter 20 of Revelation. Chapter 20. Getting close to the end, but not the end of Sunday night services, okay? Just in case any of you were wondering. As we come to the 20th chapter of Revelation, we come to some challenging information that will affect a better understanding about the death of a saint and the power that God is able to exercise over all of the nations. Most of you know the answer to the question, is there anything too hard for God? And of course, most of us don't know where to find the answer to that question in the Bible. Does anybody know where to find that answer, the answer to that question in the Bible? Is there anything too hard for God? Does anybody know? Nope. It's in Jeremiah 32:17. Let's turn there for just a minute. This is free. There's no extra charge for that, okay? You don't have to add any more to the offering next week. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Alrighty, let's see. Verse 17 says, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Then again, in the same chapter, Jeremiah 32, verses 26 and 27, it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So, we have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. Nothing is too hard for God. Okay, we'll go back to Revelation chapter 20. Now, let's move to some very special times near the end of time. You see, you're born in time. I was born in time. The only reference I have to life is time. I wear a watch because I want to know what time it is. That doesn't help me know where my time is. Only God knows that. Have I got 5 years? Have I got 10 years? Have I got 20 minutes? None of us know the answer. But we can, in faith, believe that God has something for us to accomplish, all of us. And until we get that accomplished, God's going to continue to give us time. And that's what we are going to live in. And so as we think about time, let's go to this 20th chapter of the book of Revelation because it's going to talk about some time. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now understand that the chain that you are looking at is not made of steel or some other strong metal. There are different chains, different kinds of chains. There are emotional chains, where our emotions get chained. There are many, many different kinds of chains. We're going to see one kind tonight. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's made out of, but we're going to look at it. Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, there's several different names here. The dragon. We see him in Revelation as a dragon. The old serpent. He was in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Which is the devil. He is our adversary. He is our tempter. And Satan. He once was known as Lucifer in heaven, the most beautiful angel that ever existed. God wants to make sure we understand. It's him that this angel is laying hold on. He laid hold on the dragon and he bound him. He bound him. That's what this chain was all about. He bound him for 1,000 years. That's 1,000 years that you and I are going to live and live through. He bound him 1,000 years and he cast him into the bottomless pit. He cast him into hell and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, the Bible does not tell us what that little season is, but it is significant. And you will see why in just a few minutes. Hell is a place which was created for the devil from the very beginning. When Jesus, and Lucifer is a created being, by the way. When Lucifer was created, because Jesus is omniscient, he knows everything. He knew how Lucifer would respond. He knew that Lucifer would get proud. He was made perfectly. Sin doesn't come from God, ever. Sin comes from the creation, the created beings. You and I have a sin nature built into us that we got from our great, 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 great grandfather called Adam, okay? When Adam and Eve sinned, they established a sin nature. And it has been passed from one generation to the next generation to today. Everyone sitting here has a sin nature. Under the right circumstances, without the Holy Spirit's intervention, you and I are capable of sin, any sin. Adultery, murder, anything. We have that capability within us. It's the sin nature. And it's only by the grace of God. Once you surrender your heart and your soul to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit causes you to be born again, that is the only thing that keeps you from committing some of those sins. And even then, there are Christians who commit sin. Look around this room. We all do. No one is above it. Not even AB. So, the devil has something to do with that. So he is, you and I, if we were never tempted, if we were never tempted. Oh, that's such a pretty pin. If we were never tempted, we never would sin. And so for 1,000 years now, the devil is going to be incarcerated in hell, somewhere in the center of the earth. There's going to be a seal put upon him that he cannot break. When God seals a thing, it is sealed. We all have God's seal upon us. He's called the Holy Spirit. And so God seals the devil so he cannot tempt anybody for 1,000 years. And Jesus is going to come back to reign that 1,000 years. Verse 3, we see the angel set a seal upon the dragon or Satan. And that seal is the power of God confining the devil to hell for 1,000 years. No one can overcome the power of God. We just looked at the verse that says, is anything too hard for God? So we have to know that. Satan, though, thought that he could overcome Jesus. When he died on the cross, I think the devil thought he'd won. I believe he did. There was celebration everywhere. He's dead. They're burying him in a borrowed tomb. He'll be there forever. 3 days later, surprise. Now, he'd been told that Jesus had overcome him. He'd been told that. And in the end of 3 days and three nights, Jesus was coming out of that tomb. Nothing could have kept him from doing that because God had prophesied it, and God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus Christ. And one day, the power of the Holy Spirit in you is going to raise your new body, your immortal body, your sinless body. And then we are going to go through 1,000 years with Jesus. Now, Satan thought that he'd overcome Jesus. And the devil even arranged for Pilate to seal the tomb so that Jesus could not escape. When the ruler put a seal on anything, that was it. That couldn't have been done. He was God, and he had to prove that he could even overcome death. And he has overcome death for each of you and for me. He's overcome it. We need not be afraid of death. It's sometimes a difficult thing to go through. We fight to stay alive. We fight to breathe. We fight to continue living because we're afraid of letting go because we are going into a place we've never been before. And it can be scary. But I believe that when it comes time for a Christian to die, I believe that God gives a peace. And it's through the Holy Spirit. We call it the peace that passeth understanding. But at that last moment, there's not fear. At that last moment, there's just peace. And the spirit and the soul leave the body. It dies. The spirit goes back to God. The soul goes to be with Jesus, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Every one of us, if the rapture doesn't occur soon, every one of us at some point are going to experience that. Could we be a little scared? Yes. Are we walking by faith? Well, maybe 99%. Is that 0.1% that most people get a little afraid of? But There is a time coming when Satan will not be part of the formula. He will be confined in hell, and you and I, as children of God, are going to be alive again, living through the 1,000 years, millennium. We will eat. We will drink. We will praise God. There will be many children born during the millennium. There'll be 1,000-year generation. Wow. But that's what we're told. Because during those 1,000 years, we're going to have the Garden of Eden existing. There will be no sin. There will be no illness. There will be no death. For 1,000 years, people are going to live here and worship Jesus Christ as the King, as the Lord of Lords. We saw him in verse 19, chapter 19. Come as the Word of God. Come as the King of Kings. Come riding that white horse as Lord of Lords. He has the name actually written on him. And for 1,000 years, we're going to live with him on this earth. And there will be children born. There will be families grow up. You ladies are fortunate. I don't think there'll be any wrinkles. We men won't get weak. We'll have the energy we need to perform the job that we are given during that 1,000 years. Everybody will have a job. Yeah, some men will even have hair. It's going to be different. Their hair follicles will not die because there's no more death, okay? So for 1,000 years, it's going to be wonderful. Everything you can want or imagine. I mean, there'll be no finance companies, okay? No mortgages, no car payments to make. And then, Satan is going to be released. He's going to be let out of hell. He's going to be Satan again. He thought that he overcame Jesus. His goal, his purpose for existing is to frustrate God, to frustrate God's people, anything that has to do with God. So he is bound in heaven to prevent any attempt for 1,000 years of thwarting God's will. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We'll connect that in just a minute. Revelation 24, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had he received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Lived. Now, there's an implication in this verse which is very important. Can a soul without a body be seen? We're going to do some thinking tonight. The soul belongs to God. It's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is not visible without a body to house it in. Can you see my soul? Can you see your soul when you look in the mirror? Verse 4 must indicate that the immortal bodies that we are promised to be given in 1 Corinthians 15 have been given at this point. And I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I know God's going to keep his word. He's given us a promise that we will be changed. We will be, these mortal bodies will become immortal. We will have a new body at that point. We will be able to see the bodies. It tells us very clearly here in verse 4, they had not the mark of the beast on them. They were covered with the righteousness of Christ. And I didn't pick up at first, but we are shown in chapter 7 by the term used for souls. In Hebrew, it indicates a soul or a spirit form without a body. Revelation 6, 9, and 10 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" I don't know what it's going to look like, folks. What this new body is going to look like, I have no idea. But we will have bodies for the millennium. Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6. "But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to be with him. We're going to be right back here on this earth. You know, every time I hear some of our government officials talking about our damaging the world or damaging the earth and all this foolishness of conservation, God has promised the earth's going to be around 1,000 years. We can't destroy it. Now, when we get into chapter 21, that's a whole different story. But for here, the earth still exists. Now, let me read again, verse 20, 5 and 6. "But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we are going to be alive for 1,000 years in our new bodies. Now we can all be looking forward to that. Then, here comes the bad part of chapter 20. "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, hell, the place Jesus made for him. And he shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, actually part of Russia, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. We will be living in Jerusalem. So if you don't get to make a Holy Land trip in this life, don't worry about it. You'll see it. You're going to live there. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived, oh no, let's go back to 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. We're going to deal with just a minute who them are. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Look at that verb closely. It says are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This group that the devil deceives are the ones who are born during the millennium. There will be a generation born, and it will live for those 1,000 years, but they will never have experienced temptation. And it wasn't until Eve experienced temptation that Eve sinned. Human beings don't sin until they're tempted. It's not an excuse. It's just fact. You and I are tempted at times to sin. And unless we're hanging on to that Holy Spirit and we have the Holy Spirit in our souls, we're liable to succumb to that temptation. It's our love for Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. And it's our love for him that keeps us from sinning. I hope it's keeping you from sinning. I hope somewhere in the back of your mind is this thought, I don't want to embarrass all my brothers and sisters at Coastal Shores Baptist Church by having my name show up in the paper for having done something awful. Huh? Does that work? It does for me. That's the way it is, people. Until we're tempted, we don't sin. Sometimes the temptation comes from outside. Sometimes the temptation comes from inside. We have appetites. We have desires, we have plans, and they may conflict with God's. So during the millennium, there will be people born. They have never been tempted, and the devil will deceive them and tempt them, and they will follow him. You see, in chapter 19, all wickedness on earth was destroyed. All the wicked people on earth were destroyed. That's when the beasts were destroyed, the religious beast and the political beast. That's when Satan got grabbed by the nape of the neck and put in hell and chained there and sealed there. There was no, when the earth started out at the beginning of the millennium, there was no sin. None. As children were born, they did not sin because they were never tempted. And when the temptation came, they yielded to it. That's why there was another group that wanted to fight God. And the devil was leading them. That's why he was released for a time. I don't know if it's going to be months, days, maybe even years. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We just know that he's going to tempt those that go through the millennium and are born during that time, and they're going to succumb to him. And we see God take care of that. He deals with it. Now we see the end of the battle that Satan had with God. When the devil set loose, he deceives many of the people who have come through the millennium. And they will form an army around Jerusalem in an attempt to overcome Jesus and his followers. We are the followers. God intervenes. And all those following the devil are killed. And the devil himself is thrown into the lake of fire. And notice that the beast and the false prophet are there. It's an active verb, are. They will always be there once they're put there. We're going to see some other people get put there too, just a minute or two. That's God's final judgment. Notice that the beast and false prophet are there. They are still alive, and they will remain that way for eternity. People think, well, you know, you go to hell and that's the end of it. It's not. Not the end of it at all. They will be tormented for their sin forever. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, when we get to chapter 21, we'll be looking at some things that Peter wrote. We'll not look at those tonight. We'll just accept this statement. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Everything you and I know, everything, ceases to exist. Now, there's been a lot of speculation how this could happen. Nuclear war dissolves everything. But physics tells us that if it's converted from physical to power, that they're still in existence in a different form. It gets real interesting. But we are told here that there was no place for them. If God created everything out of nothing, certainly he can return it, and he does. It goes back to what it was created out of. No Big Bang theory. We see a throne, a great white throne. Jesus is the one who's sitting on it. Here's another thought that we need to make note of. Jesus purchased us from sin. We belong to Jesus because he has not given us to the Father yet. We still belong to Jesus. We are God's children, but that's through Jesus Christ. Because everything is not quite perfect yet. One of the reasons that Jesus is to make all things perfect for God. There will be a day where you will be perfect. We're not quite perfect yet. Now, Jesus was a mediator between man and God. Jesus was a payment to God for our sins. He bought each one of us from the devil. Once everything is resolved, Jesus will give us to God as a present so that God might be all in all. You know what the difference between this sentence is? This verse in the Bible and you and I right now. And it's this is so exciting, folks. Right now, God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, is in us. At this point, something changes. We will be in God. We will be in God, not just Him in us. We're so imperfect right now, we can't be in Him. But when Jesus perfects everything, we will be in Him. We'll be one in God. You see, the old creation was flawed, and sin was prevalent. Sin is not able to exist in the presence of God. It's not able to exist in the presence of the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. And take note that the earth and the heaven flee away. They vanish from existence. No more heaven, no more earth, they're gone. Revelation 20, 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, folks, we're not in that judgment. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not see, well, you will see it, but you will not be a part of the great white throne judgment. You have already been judged. It's called the Bema Seat judgment. You do that when you die. You wind up with Jesus, even after the Bema Seat. These are all the ones who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior forever. Going back all the way to Nimrod and some of the others. Everyone who has ever lived upon this earth, if they have not had faith in God, enough faith to believe He is, that He will keep His word, in the Old Testament, that they would take the sacrifice knowing that there was a day coming when the perfect sacrifice would be given, and that was Jesus. He's come. He sacrificed. We are now saved by the grace of God. We will be watching, but we will not go through this judgment. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, stand before God in the books. You notice there is a recording. Somewhere this is being recorded in eternity. I don't know how. Maybe it's on a Dell computer. I don't know. But somehow, and the books were opened. Okay. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And hopefully everybody here's name is written in that book. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. If your name's in the book of life, you won't be here. Oh, if their name's written in the book of life, you're in the wrong group. Get over there. Get over beside the throne. Now we see the Bible talk about the dead. And of course, like I said, it does not include any of us, because you know why? We are alive in Christ. We are alive in Christ. We're not dead. We're never going to experience the second death. We have an eternal life. We are alive again. That's what the Holy Spirit did when He indwelled our souls. He made them alive. Our souls have been born again. They are not dead. All those who are burned up by the fire of God coming down from heaven, they are dead. All those who died by the plagues and the pestilences from God are dead. All those who sinned are dead. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God keeps His word. After all the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. After all this is the last judgment. We're looking at it in verse 20. Revelation 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. You can't work your way to heaven. You can work your way to hell. In verse 12, we're told that the books were opened, which means that God is keeping a record somewhere of what men do. It's not for God's benefit, but it is evidence at this great white throne judgment to the individual who's going to be judged. Con men won't be able to con their way out of this kind of thing. They rebelled against God's will, and they didn't trust Jesus as Savior. There's just one more piece of evidence to be offered. One more piece. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's it, folks. No reprieves, no second chances. Time has run out. I thought we'd get done a little sooner, but we didn't. Any questions? Any comments? Yes?
You had a reference to 2 Corinthians?
Yes, there was a second in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. Talks about the gospel being hid. That the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Why do you think Washington, D.C. is in the mess that it's in right now? Because you have never seen so many blind people in your life. The God of this world, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the dragon. Yes?
One more reference to anything too hard for God.
All right, yes. Jeremiah?
18, 14.
Oh, 18, okay. All right, Genesis 18, 14, all right. We know that in our hearts. The world does not know that, because the world does not know God. They don't know anything about Him. They think they do. Just like there are times when we think we know things that we don't know. There was a time when I maintained a fleet of trucks in Florida. I'm talking about a fleet. I was a mechanic. I was a shop foreman. It was my job to keep these trucks on the road. I rebuilt engines. I did about anything that needed to be done. I even built a trailer, 40-footer. That was standard, and they're 53-foot now. But I did all those things. Today, I couldn't do anything with an engine because they have gotten so technical, and they have added computers, and computers control almost everything in your car. And it got to a point where I know I had to give up. It was beyond me. This is beyond me. This is beyond anybody. God is in control. We are approaching this time. We are. We're not there quite yet. But you can see why we have so many blind people in Washington, D.C. Really. They are blind to the truth because the devil is the father of all lies. And that's why they can't tell us the truth. Folks, we're getting close to the end. We really are. And we need not be afraid. Because after the end, what we call the end, we're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years right here on this old earth. And the tree huggers will have been wrong again. Any questions? Yes. All of the people who have died without Christ, because he comes on in chapter 19 and he destroys both beasts and all of their followers, everybody with the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hands.
Will that include Old Testament saints?
No, Old Testament saints are going to come on through. They're already in heaven. And to verify that, look at Matthew 27:52. For some people, this comes as a surprise. You want to read that for the rest of folks? Start at verse 51.
Matthew 27.
51, yes.
51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this is the Son of God."
Okay. Now, you see, the Old Testament saints were resurrected at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're in heaven. That's right.
That's so cool.
Okay. God does it. God tells us, and that's why I quote the verse so often, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently, appropriately is another translation for that Greek word, and in order. On time is another way of translating that Greek word. Let all things be done appropriately and on time. And God has his own organization. Other questions? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us this time together. Thank you for John writing this 20th chapter of Revelation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit inspiring him to write this, that not only might we have hope, but that we might have an understanding that there is yet much for us to do. May we be in the place where you can use us, Father. May we be a ministry that can be effective for you. May we see souls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might not have to go through this chapter. And we will praise you for all that you do. Take each one home safely. Take each one to their destination and use them in that place. And we will praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.